Liam Horan is next up, because we're going to help you to prepare a proper CV. Because there are lots of people out there who are looking for work, and they fall down at the first hurdle, because the first, I suppose, opinion, the first judgment that's made of them is from the letter that arrives from them to the potential employer. So how do you prepare a proper CV? Liam Horan, hello to you.
Good morning, good afternoon, Sean.
Now, you're a career consultant with Sleenewer Careers.
That's right.
And what does that mean? What is a career consultant?
Well, we work with I work with people preparing their CVs, critiquing existing CVs. I do interview training skills with people as well. We also help people with job seeking in terms of how they can access the online job sites and set up job alerts, and how they can go about looking for work as well. So anything to do with people trying to get jobs, we specialize in that.
Yeah. Now, Liam, I just wonder, is there any work out there for people at the moment? I mean, what's your own gauge on the employment situation?
It's much tighter than it was, it's as we all know. But there's still work out there, and there are still companies out there. I bet if you did an appeal there, you'd find some companies would come on and say they still can't get the people they're looking for as well. So there are some openings, much more competitive than they used to be by and large. But in the last few days, for example, I've had two teachers get very good jobs. There's quite a lot of movement in the teaching industry, for example, because of all the retirements taking place to facilitate the pensions and all that. So there's still some stuff going on, and not as good as it was, but people need to be positive as well, because to give up is to sign your own death warrant in that area, you know.
All right. And Peter Cosgrove said, and he's director of a recruitment agency, said one of the 10 main reasons why people don't get interviewed, the first one is the CV stinks, and the second one is the CV stinks. So in other words, the CV needs to be good.
Yes, and this is the problem. People, good candidates send out bad CVs all the time, and bad candidates send out bad CVs all the time as well, but particularly good candidates hide their good stuff away. And that's what Peter is getting at. I've read that article that Peter, you've referred to there.
Is it modesty?
Yes, there's a bit of modesty, but also there's kind of a, oh, I couldn't say that about myself, or kind of, I think we're very influenced by how we learned how to write English essays in school, which was the beginning, the middle, and the end, which if you apply it to a CV means that the good stuff waits in the bottom of page 2 or the top of page 3, and the employer may not even get that far. So we would always urge people to get your good stuff into your CV early on. And a test that your listeners can do here today or this evening when they go home to check their CV is to fold the front page of their CV in half and just read that. If that doesn't catch their interest, chances are it won't catch the employer's interest either, because employers are receiving so many CVs, they're scanning CVs now.
So in other words, fold it in half and read the first half.
The first half, the first page, and if that's not doing much for you, chances are the employer, you won't get an interview, in my view. If you look at most people at the top half of their CV have about 10 or 12 lines given over to contact details, which doesn't help to sell you, because a CV is a sales document. It's not just a list of, it's not just a form you fill out for local authority. It's a sales document. And you've got to be selling yourself from very early on in the CV, not just listing things. And people tend to list stuff in CVs, don't make decisions about bringing the important stuff to the top part of the page, of the first page.
So somebody like you might put, my name is Liam Horan. I have been involved in career consultancy for the past da-da-da-da years, where yes. I've blah, 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 blah. So you're saying all the good stuff. You're hitting them. It's like an advertisement. You've got to get them quick.
Absolutely. It's absolutely like an advertisement. And I often talk about Coca-Cola don't put their contact details as the most prominent part on their wrapping, on their merchandising. They put what they would deem to be the benefits and features. And you've got to do that with your CV as well. So, you know, previous successes you had, evidence of success, good things you have done, skills you've acquired outside the workplace, perhaps, that are useful in a work setting, good things about you early on, a good, strong personal profile, like you described there, and then maybe 5 or 6 bullet points under a heading called key achievements, skills, and attributes.
You see, but I think sometimes, Liam, people need others to point out their good points.
Yes.
You know, you might be sitting down with me or somebody else, and you might say, right, well, what else have you done? I'll say, well, I did this. You say, well, why haven't you put that down, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've had people, you know, late on in sessions with people tell me the most spectacularly impressive things
at
they
the
have
end.
Done. Yeah, and then I said, why didn't you tell me that? You know, I was student of the year in college. Why you didn't tell me this? And that is part of the problem. People, one, don't necessarily see how their achievements transfer from one arena to another. There is some modesty going on as well. But what you suggest is a very good suggestion. Get others to look at you. Get friends to fill out a little form saying, what are the 5 good things about me that would be useful in a work setting? And you'd be surprised what people will say about you. So you don't just list what you have done, but you give it a kind of a context as well. You know, proven ability to succeed in complex tasks.
President's Award or Duke of Edinburgh Award in the North or whatever it is, you know.
Yes, exactly. And get that stuff early on. So I would say underneath your contact details should be no more than 2 lines. You have your personal profile, which is 2 or 3 sentences about yourself, selling yourself. And then you have your heading key achievements, skills and attributes. And underneath that, you've got 5 or 6 more bullet points about yourself. And by the time you get, that'll bring it down to about halfway down the first page. And at that point, when you fold your CV in half, there should be a lot more impact there than there was heretofore.
Right, we're getting calls on this. We've got Liam Horan on. He's a career consultant. He's looking for a job. There's plenty of people looking for jobs now. And those that are staying in Ireland, you need to be top of the game when it comes to the application, because that's your big chance. That's the, you can fall on the first few lines, or you can rise on them. If you want to text us, 0871-444-333, 0871-444-333. This caller says, I haven't updated my CV in years. I was made redundant 3 months ago. Should I leave out any details? I see a lot of people put in non-drinker or non-smoker. Is it relevant? That's a good point.
Well, you see, when you look at what the employer is looking for, if the employer is looking for somebody to drive a bus late on Saturday night to bring people home from nightclubs and discos, a non-drinker is very relevant. And it's not a bad thing to have. It would generally suggest that you won't miss Monday mornings or you won't be a bit groggy, which I know is a generalization. But if you're going for a job as a wine taster, it's not a good attribute to have.
What about smoking? That's a good one, because you know people say, oh, you lose so much time in the day smoking, you know, going out and having that crafty few minutes, you know.
Yes, and I mean, again, particularly important if you're going for a job as a gym instructor, perhaps. You know, a lot depends on what the employer is looking for. And we would say to people, before you start your CV at all, spend quite a bit of time looking at what the employer is looking for. Look at the job spec, look at the advertisement, look at the company's website. What are they looking for? Because this is what decided this.
Well, you're not going to put I'm a drinker and I'm a smoker. You're not going to put it on, but you probably would put on, I don't smoke and I don't drink. If you don't, if you think it would be useful for that particular job.
Yes, exactly.
Right, this caller says, I do CVs up for people and I find presentation is the key. Typing errors can put people off. Mm-hmm. Plus a lot of white paper with nonsense can be off-putting as well, which is what you've said earlier. That's somebody helping people with CVs, so they're saying you're right. But what about that? You know, typing errors? I mean,
absolutely,
that's a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a CV is a very professional document, and it should be, the grammar should be correct, the spelling should be correct, and too much information is nearly as bad as not enough. Don't ask the employer to read through page after page after page. You should make decisions about what's important and what's relevant and promote that onto your CV and leave stuff off that's not relevant. And white space, I think, is quite useful as well. Don't clog the CV forcing the employer to get to every last word of it, you know, because they won't. The big lesson of the current economic environment we're in is that employers will scan over CVs and you mightn't even get noticed.
Right, well, what if you haven't done very well academically? What if you haven't had a job for ages? How do you disguise that in a CV?
Well, first of all, you don't tell a lie, because a lie will come back to bite you. But all you can do in going
Do you know how many people have lied on their CVs?
There was a survey last week that said 68%.
Exactly.
Yes,
68%
exactly.
Have lied.
Yes. But there probably is a survey that shows that 68% of people lie in surveys too. So maybe that balance might balance
right.
It. But,
right.
But, you know, in your CV, you must list all you have done. You must list where you have been. You can't leave big long blanks unexplained, because that'll just lead to doubt on the part of the employer. So address things like, you can say unemployed, but what did you use the time for? Did you do training courses? Did you get involved in your local community? You know, put down the best things you have done. And if you haven't done anything for 8 years in terms of community work, or training or whatever, well, then it's very hard to see how you will be attracted to an employer in the first place.
Well, it's
you've got to take ownership of your own blank time as well as your work time.
Yeah, if you sort of said, Liam, when I was not in paid employment for this period, I volunteered to work in the local... That kind of language.
Absolutely, because that's something that the employer will say, well, fair play, they didn't just let the time go to waste. They wanted to upskill themselves and learn some more, you know, some new things. You can put in that you did computer training courses. And the thing as well is that nowadays with websites like Alison.com, there's so much online training you can do even free of charge from the comfort of your own home.
Who's that? Alison?
Alison, Alison.com.
What's that?
It's an online training site, basically, where there's all sorts of training courses you can do free of charge.
Oh.
The gentleman who set it up is a man called Mike Furyk from County Galway, and he's inspired by a desire to let people learn for free. You can go on there and do all sorts of courses and search engine optimization, all free of charge. You can also pay for some as well if you want to go into deeper stuff, but there's a huge amount of courses you can do free of charge there, and all quite good as well, too.
There's a question saying, what difference does it make what sex I am? Surely you don't need to include that on a CV?
No, you don't. And and generally your name gives it away anyway, so you don't need to give that at all. But people, that question would suggest to me that somebody feels they have to give that. And what I would say is there aren't that many rules about what you put into a CV, that a lot of the decisions rest with you. So once you give the key information, like your contact details, and don't leave any major gaps in your career today, you're entitled to put in whatever you wish thereafter. In terms of what sells you, there's a very good case of a young man from Northern Ireland recently called Stephen Cleary. If people Google Stephen Cleary, Adidas, and YouTube, they should get his job searching effort. He basically wanted to get an internship with a leading sports marketing company, and he did his CV online. He did a YouTube, he did a blog, and he did a Twitter campaign. After 6 weeks, he got a job with Adidas in Amsterdam, and he didn't observe any of the rules that people think apply to CV. So people need to stop thinking that there are rules they must follow and think more about, how does this sell me? It's a sales document, and you're entitled to sell whichever way you wish, by and large.
It's like when you go in to sell something, you catch people's attention for so long. It's like a speech, a wedding speech, any speech. You've got so long to get people's attention, a joke even. And then you lose it if you don't grab them at the beginning. It's the same with the CV, obviously. But I'm just wondering about we were just wondering there. I mean, what jobs can you apply for where you'd have to say what your sex was? And you're saying you don't have to say that. And I can't think, we couldn't think of any jobs, priest or nun.
Priest or nun are probably gender specific, as I say.
No, goes, others. Yeah. Are there any others?
Probably not. I mean, nearly everything is probably more democratic now than it used to be. There are certain professions, obviously, where people would incline, more males would incline to certain professions than females.
But there's none that are sex barred, gender barred, is there?
Really, no. I don't think so, no. No.
Can't think of any. I have a degree, and most of the jobs I have applied for say that I'm overqualified. Should I play down my qualifications? Wow.
This is a very common one, Sean, and it's a very tricky one for people because, you know, somebody who's gone to college and got the level of qualifications that person may have and the experience they may have, it's a real stick in their craw to have to downplay what they have done. But I think if there's a fear, you've got to look at this from the employer's side. The employer might be saying, okay, this person's is very, very good at this, but they're a flight risk. They'll be gone the first chance they get because this job is beneath them. So it could be gone 3 months later if something better comes up for them, okay?
Yeah.
So in your CV and in your interview as well, you must address that concern of the employer by saying something in your CV like keen to obtain a position where I can develop within a company and show my worth over a prolonged period or something like that. You've got to, as best you can, address that fear, because companies hate people coming in and being gone 3 months later, which all the training is undone, and they've got to go training somebody new then thereafter as well. So address the employer's fears all the time. What is the employer thinking, you know? Won't tell you that necessarily, but what they might be thinking of.
All right. Another caller who says, where would you get help with your CV? You mentioned a website as well, didn't you? Alison.com, is that?
Well, Alison.com does training for all types of things, not just career. There's everything from music recording to search engine optimization to all sorts of courses. You name it, it's on Alison.com.
There are lots of websites as well, free websites, yeah.
Also on a Monday evening, we on our website, cnewatcareers.com, if you go to /CV workshop, we do a weekly online CV workshop at 6 o'clock every Monday evening.
Do you? So that tonight too?
And that's free of charge. People just go onto our website, sign up.
Tonight at 6?
Tonight at 6, but they need to go on the site a bit beforehand to register.
All right, there you go.
cnewatcareers.com /CV workshop.
Right, just pronounce, spell that for us.
SLINUA careers .com.
Simple as.
Yes, /CV workshop. And we do a full hour every Monday evening talking about CVs.
Free.
Free of charge, no catch.
Good stuff. So maybe parents might get their students onto that this evening.
Yes, exactly, or any Monday evening.
All right. What if you didn't really have any hobbies? What would you write then? You wouldn't write anything.
Yeah, well, generally people have something though, you know. I mean, people, even reading is a hobby, or, you know, people are generally involved in some organization. If you don't, you don't. I mean, you don't make it up, because it could come back to bite you. But
yeah, especially
people, people need to see how they're making themselves attractive to the employer.
Especially if you tell them that you're a, well, a swimmer, love swimming as a hobby, and then there's a swimming thing involved, and you say, oh, I can't swim. As an employer, I hate to see a CV more than 2 pages long. It's just time-consuming, nearly always full of unnecessary information, which is totally irrelevant to the job.
Yes.
People need to get to the point, which is what you've pointed out. Just half a page, then 1 page is enough, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes I would look at the CV as... The first half of the page is crucial. If the first half of the page doesn't catch attention, the chances are they won't go beyond that, okay? You can look at the later stuff as kind of supplementary, that in case the employer's attention has been pricked, that there's more detail they can go into then. But I would leave nothing important, really important, to the second page. And I agree with the caller, generally, if you can get it to one page, better again. And I've noticed that as people go on in life, often their CV gets shorter, that they don't feel the need to say as much as they had been saying previously. But the employer rang in there saying anything more than 2 pages is, I would say, rarely enough warranted.
All right. How do I include my salary expectations on my CV? You don't.
Yeah, I tend to believe that salary negotiations come later
after,
in the cycle.
Yeah.
You've got to, first of all, make them want you. And when an employer wants you, you're in a much stronger position than before they want you.
I think that would be daft. Putting that on a CV, I'm expecting this amount of money.
Yeah,
because you're basically, a lot of employees would just throw that away and say, oh, to hell.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily help you get the job, but no. I think everything at this stage should be focused on getting, I mean, offered the job.
Getting an interview.
The job, you can negotiate.
Not even the job, getting an interview.
Yes, exactly.
You know, how do we include, oh, we've done that, salary expectations, we said, we're not going to bother with that one. It says here, hi, all jobs require a few years' experience, so where do graduates stand?
It's a generalisation.
Because they don't all.
They don't all, but it is difficult for graduates to get some work, and I suppose that's where the very controversial internship scheme comes into play. It can be a very good opportunity for you to get some unpaid work for a number of months in a company, and use that as your experience.
Right.
And that might be the way to go, but in America, the whole move nowadays is towards attitude. The companies are now hiring for attitude. Not necessarily for training or experience, but if you've got the good attitude, they will take you on. So that's key.
Can I just give a bit of advice, Liam, from a friend? By the way, it had to come in. What if you're a boy named Sue? Well, if you're a boy named Sue, you did allude to that. Liam, I just...
Get some royalties if you
can. Somebody told me that this is to be very careful of post office boxes, right? You know when you send your CV to a PO box?
Yes.
Because I was told by a person that somebody applied to one of these PO boxes for a job.
Mm.
And guess who it was they applied to?
Their own job.
Their own job. Or their own employer. Not the same job.
Was it Rupert O'Malley had that song, If You Like Pina Colada? Where he answered a date in the paper. He answered a classified ad for a date in the paper and ended up meeting his own wife in the date. So.
Yeah, but what do you think of that? That's risky.
I wouldn't like to meet my own wife on a blind date.
No. But I mean, imagine sending your CV and everything and your own employer getting it, saying that you want to... Oh, man, cheapest.
Yeah, but I suppose some companies do it for other reasons as well. It's not always just that they're trying to get rid of somebody, but you will find that some people in a small town, for example, might want to know they're hiring because they'll be inundated with people they don't want to employ. So they like to have a little bit of a barrier. But this is regular as well with recruitment websites now. You will regularly apply to jobs if you don't know what company it is. Our client is a leading you know, marketing organisation based in the west of Ireland, and you won't know who they are. So you are sending your CV out blindly quite a bit.
I'm 61, I'm active. Do I need to say how old I am?
Generally, people can figure out your age from your CV anyway, because they look at your experience, your leaving cert, whatever is back there. I have a client who's 62, in fact, and he's been looking for work the last number of months and is quite close to getting a job at the moment, I believe. And he makes a virtue of his age. He says that I'm 62 and I have experience he couldn't have at 22. And that kind of knocks down a lot of the barriers for him. It's all down to your... if you feel you're too old, you're too old. I would say your age is your age, and then with age comes benefits in terms of experience and wisdom and that. And that's what I would be putting out there, my strengths based on my age.
There's some people
trying to hide it because they're going to figure it out anyway.
Yeah, well, some jobs, some people, I know, particularly in the hospitality sector, I mean, they actually love to get older people in because of their life experience with people.
Yes, and they also know they're not going anywhere. They're not going to Australia next week kind of thing. So
that's it. Liam, fascinating, and many thanks for your advice today.
Thank you, Sean.